read our text together tonight. Let me say before I ever read the text and begin, if you're here tonight and you're unmarried and not looking to get married, this message probably won't have much to say to you. But if you're here tonight and you're married, or you're a young person looking to get married, I hope you'll take heed to what Brother Hall preaches.
Amen.
And I preach this Wednesday night for the people down at New Testament, down at Fair Dealing. I may have preached it here recently. I don't know. It really doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other. I know that Friday night while I was praying and reading my Bible, the Lord in no uncertain terms said, "That's what I want you to preach Sunday night to the people." And I'd already prepared, or was in the process of preparing, to preach out of 1 John on fellowship and another message on that, and I will preach that later. And I'm looking for the next verse out of 1 John on joy. "These things have I written unto you, that your joy might be full." And I'm looking forward to preaching on that. Some of you won't be, but I am. And some of you won't be looking forward to tonight when I'm done. I'll assure you of that. But nevertheless, I want to preach what God's laid on my heart. And if I preach this recently, just act like I didn't. I mean, just shout the house down, praise God, swing from the ceiling fans. Pull on these cords, get the fans to running. Pull these ceiling mics out of the ceiling or something. Throw a chair or two around. Throw a glass of water on somebody, do something. Act like it just got you so up and just carrying on that you can't hardly stand it. And it'd be good. And I'll try to be as loving and kind as I can be with what I want to preach. Psalm 128. What are you laughing about, Brother Steve? You act like you know what I was going to preach before I ever preached it. You laughing about swinging from the ceiling fans? You don't think they'd hold anybody in here, huh? Huh? There's a few that I'll assure you that they would not hold. And I'm close getting to be one of them. Rapidly getting, growing, whatever you want to call it. I'm about there, we'll put it that way. I stepped on the scales this morning. Miss Hall said, "How much?" I said, 100. She said, "What?" I said, 100. She said, "I don't quite understand." I said, 190. I never thought I'd ever see the day when I weighed 190 pounds. Brother Smith's losing it, and I must be following along behind his treadmill, picking it up. So, Psalm 128, the Bible said, "Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord,
amen,
that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Now, I may not be able to say this in the message, so I want to say it right here, that it's obvious from verse 3 that in verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is everyone," it's very obvious there that the Lord is referring to a man. For he says in verse 3, "thy wife." And so that tells me that in verses 1 and 2, when he says everyone, he is referring to men. And he said in verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Get that. The blessings of God are upon a man that will fear the Lord. A reverential fear of God Almighty. The kind of fear that I had of my daddy. My daddy said, "Don't," I didn't. My daddy said, "Do," I done. You understand what I'm saying? Same way it is with God. If we really had a fear of the Lord today, when God said do in the Bible, we wouldn't have any qualms at all about doing that.
Amen.
If we really feared God. And God sometimes has to take drastic measures to get our attention where we will fear Him.
Amen.
And then He said in verse 5, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." Isn't that wonderful? A man that fears God will see the good of Jerusalem all the days of his life. What a blessing. Blessed every living day of our life.
Amen.
He said, "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Now, I know the Lord is speaking to the Hebrews here, but I really believe there's a lot of application that we can make to the church and the child of God, the family of God. And so if you'll bear with me, I'll try to read this in a hurry and get through it, and try to give you what the Lord, I believe, laid on my heart for tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege to be back in church tonight. Thank you for our young people, how they blessed my heart tonight, Brother Smith's young people and the choir as well. It's such a joy to see young people involved in the work of God. And I'd pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of their hearts and draw them nigh unto thee. If there's any amongst them lost, I pray you'd save them. Lord, those that are saved, I pray you'd give them a longing and a hungering in their heart to be filled with the Spirit of God, be empowered by the Holy Ghost, to be led and controlled by you. I pray for the church tonight and every family that's represented here. I pray, Lord, that you'd give real grace to their heart. And Lord, that you'd give them understanding about what I'm about to preach. I pray for Brother Hall that you'd help me to have something to say that would grace the heart of every person here and those by the radio as well. I pray for liberty tonight, Lord. I pray you'd empower me, that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God, that you'd give me the grace and the help that I need in the church tonight to be a blessing to God's people. I realize that my words are only words. But Lord, if you'd anoint them with the power of God, and cause them to fall upon open hearts and receptive hearts, they may become fruitful unto thee, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible says in verse number 1 of our text tonight, it mentions the word there, blessed. Blessed is everyone. And then in verse number 2, the Lord puts the word and installs the word there, happy. Happy shalt thou be. And again in verse number 5, he mentions the word bless, thee out of Zion. And in verse 4, he talks about the man that is blessed that feareth the Lord. And so a number of times the word blessed or happy is used in this passage of Scripture, 6 small verses. And so I want to preach tonight, if I can, by the help of God, on a happy family. A happy family. You know, I really believe the Lord wants our families to be happy. He wants the home to be a place of real joy. And He wants marriages to be blessed of Him. And he wants a man and his wife to live in a happy environment in the home. And I want to say this before I ever get started. I'm confident of this, that the homes across America, and especially those that are in the house of God, have fallen under a relentless attack by the devil himself. The devil's got enough sense to realize that if he can get inside the home and set a husband and wife against one another, or set the children against the parents, or vice versa, that'll be carried to the church house, and the church will lose much of the power of God. The church can only be as strong as what our homes are. And it's not just the power of God needed down at the church house. It is the power of God that's needed in the home. And I'll say this, I've got enough sense to realize that because of this attack, the homes today are filled up with troubles. I'm afraid that many, many of us are almost running parallel with Job. I don't think we've quite gotten there yet, but there are a number of people tonight that are suffering great troubles from the hand of the devil. And it seems like one trouble passes and woe, another trouble is right behind it. And so it seems like there's troubles on top of troubles on top of troubles. It seems like we kind of get over the hump in one thing and something else jumps up. Or we conquer one thing in our life and behold, two more replaces the one that we just got the victory over. But you know that God can provide a joy in our heart and can produce a happy family if we'll just simply obey what the Bible has to say. Now, I'm not at my text yet, so just hold on. There is a recipe, and you know it, for a happy home. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. I wonder tonight if us men really love our wives like Christ loved the church. I mean, have we really laid ourselves out for our wives, or are we so selfish that we want everything our way? And everything that we want, we get. But everything that honey wants, for some reason, they just don't seem to be enough money available to get that. I wonder if we really lay ourselves out for our wives. I learned this a long time ago, that the more I give myself in making my wife happy, the more the Lord gives Himself in making Brother Hall happy. Now, I'll assure you, if you'll obey that, God will make you happy. It's a Bible fact. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. The Lord realizes that there is a blessing there to be had, gentlemen, if we'll ever learn to do that. I wonder how many of you sorry devils really got your wife something for Valentine's Day. Don't raise your hand. Don't shame yourself. Amen. Come on in the house now. I wonder when was the last time you told your wife you loved her. It's like that man and woman went down to divorce court. They'd been married 49 years and was getting a divorce. And the judge asked him, said, "Why in heaven's name you've been married this long? Why do you want to get a divorce?" And the woman said, "Well," said, "he never tells me he loves me." Said the man looked at the judge and said, "I told her that when we got married. How much more does she expect out of me?" I'm afraid that's about like many of us are today. I'm going to tell you, if you learn to play kissy face, come on in the house, amen, and tell that woman you love her, I'll guarantee you if you will give yourself to that woman will give herself to make you happy. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100, ladies and gentlemen. Husbands, love your wives. Now come on in the house, it's time to tell the wives something. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Amen. In the Lord, for this is right. Now I'm telling you, there is such a thing as a submissive woman with a meek and a quiet spirit. Amen. Now you know this, but I'm going to tell you again, there's one thing that I cannot tolerate. It is a loudmouthed, boisterous woman who does not know how to keep her place in the home and in the family and keep her big tongue in her mouth. Come on in the house now. Boy, I'm telling you, I heard some. We were somewhere the other day and there's some woman tearing on something. My wife looked over me and said, "She runs the show." I said, "You didn't have to tell me that." I knew that for, hey, I'm going to tell you what. Somebody said, "And look, ladies, it takes a lot of grace on the part of a woman to submit herself to her husband." It takes a lot of grace. Come on now, help me out. It takes a lot of grace. It's not something you're going to be able to do overnight. It takes a little bit of work and labor involved in that in order for you to submit yourself unto your husband. And I'm not talking about your husband using you as a doormat. I'm simply talking about having a meek and a quiet and submissive spirit to your husband. Then the Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Boy, I'll tell you, there's one thing I can't hardly take, is to hear a little spoiled child say no to mommy and daddy. I can halfway tolerate it one time, but twice, it's under my skin, and the third time, brother, I'm on top of something. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Don't let those little ones tell you no when they're little.
Amen.
I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll grow up to tell you no when they get big.
Amen.
And you'll be so accustomed to it when they're little, you'll do nothing about it when they're big. And by then it'll be far too late. Come on now, help me.
Amen.
I ain't even got in the message yet. Children, obey shame, and shame on you young adult children in here that will not obey what your mom and daddy has to say to you. Well, I'm my own boss. Not if you're eating at daddy's table, you ain't, buddy. You set your shoes under daddy's table and lay in daddy's bed at night. Amen, you ain't your own boss yet. Amen. Son, I got them foaming at the mouth up at Brother Shepherd's. Some of them preachers in there, I said, some of you preachers wouldn't even let a camcorder or a cell phone into your auditorium in a meeting. And I said, now your children's walking around carrying one of them, and some of them, you don't even know it, Daddy, and some of them's got the internet on them, and you ain't even got enough sense to realize it. Amen. Ain't some of them got internet on them or not? Sure they have.
Yes,
the two technicians said so. I take their word for it. Amen. Now come on in the house. Children, obey your parents. I got to get to the message. I want you to listen carefully while I'm getting ready to read to you. I won't be this rough all the way through it, I promise you. A man once said that youth is a blunder, that manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret. But I'm telling you, that is a sad commentary on life.
Amen.
To look at young people in their youth as living a blunder.
Right.
Or manhood to be a struggle. Or old age a regret. I would hate to think that when I got old and gray-headed, I said when I got old and gray-headed, y'all catch that after a while. Amen. That I look back on my life and regretted the way that I'd lived or regretted what I'd done in life. I'm telling you, when I reach old, I'm sure there's going to be enough things that I wish to God that I'd have changed when I was young that I haven't. But thank God we can learn from our mistakes and we don't have to make them over. We can get to a place where in our old age we can look back and raise our leg and say, hallelujah, Daddy, live for God all the days of his life.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me? Now I'm going to tell you, that might be true in a life that is lived outside of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, that's certainly not true in a Christ-centered life, in a Christ-centered home, in a Christ-centered marriage. That's absolutely not right. That may be true in a life lived apart from godliness. But I'll tell you, if you'll put God first in your life, oh, buddy, I'm telling you, if our homes ever needed Christ in the center of them, it's the hour that we're living in. I'm telling you, the devil is working overtime to try to tear down your home and tear down your family and destroy your testimony for Christ. And if you give him an inch, he'll take charge and do the job. But oh, thank God for that verse of Scripture said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
You do not have to cave in to the devil.
Amen.
Praise God, He's powerful, but He ain't all powerful.
Amen.
And He's, hey, He might be great, but greater is He that's in you than He that is in the world. Hallelujah to God. You can resist that rascal. Now listen carefully. If you're living a godly life, youth don't have to be a blunder. It can be a wise purpose and a glowing hope. I want you young folks, and I'm not pulling no punches who I'm preaching to right now. I'm preaching to you young kids in here that are probably young adult married or unmarried. Your youthful years don't have to be a blunder. It is a time of purpose. Some of you need the purpose in your heart right now, like Daniel, that you're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. The youth is a time to plan your life for the future. Our young people today absolutely don't know what it is to make plans. They just want to jump off the edge of the cliff and hope to God there's a cushion at the bottom they'll land on. It's not always a smooth fall.
Amen.
Sometimes it's a little rocky. Are you listening to me? Plan your life. It don't have to be a blunder. Plan your life. Have a purpose in your life. And you can look out before you and have a glowing hope of what you want to accomplish. I mean, when Doug and Lisa got married, Doug said, I wanted to have, 12 babies. Well, he didn't quite get his hope. But he tried.
Yep.
He had a purpose. And he almost saw it fulfilled. You young men in here, you might as well, come on now, you might as well get used to the fact you're going to have to work.
Amen.
And I hope there's no Maynard G. Krebs in here.
Yep.
Work! Work's not a cuss word. Now I'm gonna tell you something. You get married and take the responsibility of a family, you better make sure you're going to have to work. And I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I believe if it was me and I was a young man today, I'm just giving you this advice. I would get me some kind of a trade or some education. I'm telling you, $5.25 an hour is not much money to make today, buddy.
Amen.
You ain't going far on that.
Amen.
Now, come on now.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with young men going to school and learning something.
Amen.
And getting a job. That's what I'm telling you. Well, when I get old enough, I'll just drop out of school. Go ahead and drop out. See how far you get later on down the road. Do you realize that the United States Marine Corps won't even take you in the Marines without a high school diploma?
Amen.
That's right, I know, because Troy Edo tried to get in. Troy White's boy, they wouldn't let him in. Had to go to the Army. Come on now, boy, it's quiet. They ain't bothering me one bit. It'd be good for you to get that education then and have that hope. And manhood doesn't have to be a struggle. It can be a conquest and a joy.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, while you're the age of men like Benny and Brother Troy back there and Doug and Jake over here, and Brother Stephen, even Brother Ricky, and Brother Stephen, some of you other young men, Brother Mark, some of you, Brother Wayne, now is the time to conquer some things in your life.
Amen.
You better believe I'm telling it right.
Amen.
You've heard me give this illustration. When Israel went into Canaan, they did not have to conquer Jericho. There was plenty of room to go around it. But I'm going to tell you, God said bring the walls down and conquer it. And they did. Somebody said, why did they? Because when they went into Canaan, ladies and gentlemen, Jericho would always been at their back. And I'm telling you, everything you sidestep in your life will always be at your back.
Amen.
You know that story about them tone boys that used to pick on me all the time? And I was constantly looking over my shoulder to them boys. One morning we pulled up to Henryville High School on the bus. My brother told me, said, "Let me go out for you." He just got out and walked and just stepped over beside the school bus. The door coming out this way. And he's beside the door. And when that first tone boy come out, he said, "Hey," when he turned, that's all it took. I'm going to tell you, conquest. I wasn't looking over my shoulder at tone boys no more.
Amen.
Are you getting the picture? And there's things in your life that you better conquer. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about particular family troubles that will come, that the devil is going to put there to try to put something between you and your wife. And buddy, right now is the time to conquer them. You realize our divorce courts are filled up with people that's 50 years old and older, buddy. That lady sat right in there. I interviewed. She's running for family court in Hopkins County. Sat right in there and told me that the divorce rate in America is above 50% now nationwide.
Right.
Amen.
And that includes folks that claim to love God and are saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you, even in our Baptist churches, oh, come on now. Praise God, even in our Baptist churches, they're getting divorces. You think the devil wouldn't love to do more than to see Jake and Elizabeth Park come to you? You better believe that he would. He don't want that young couple serving God. He don't want you young couple serving God. He don't want you young adults in here. I'm talking about 50 years and under. He don't want you serving God.
Amen.
Yeah, he'd rather you'd give up right now and sit at home while everybody else, while two or three is trying to do it, everybody else is sitting at home. And some reason the devil has slipped some of y'all a curveball. Come on now. Well, hubby won't let me. Well, wifey don't want me to. Division. Come on now. Division. The devil would love to do it. Now's the time to conquer that. And I'm telling you, you can look back over the years when you grow old with some real fond memories. I'm going to tell on my wife. That woman makes me cry all the time. I'm about fed up with it. I picked up my email a week or so ago and the little old music started playing. Bling, bling, bling. I said, uh-oh, here it comes. And I started reading that thing. She said, "You probably won't get this on Valentine's morning because of the marathon. But I just want you to know how much that I love you." And said, "This time of the year, boy, I tell you, I sat there, I read it again last night and sat there and just wept and cried, Brother Jerome." Said, "This time of the year," said, "it makes me look back," said, "it brings memories of the past to my mind," and said, "I remember back when we were young." Said, "I remember that first time that you looked at me and that I saw that twinkle in your eyes." I said, "Whoo, that woman is looking for some money or something. Hallelujah." He said, "I remember the first time we met and the day that we got married. And this reminded me of how much that I love you." Oh, and it just went on. And I'm telling you, it was mushy, but I like it. Some of y'all don't like it. You tough, rough and tough and hard to bluff. You don't like that mushy stuff. But I'm here to tell you, friend, you will never have real, real happiness in your home. Until you learn to get somewhat mushy about things. And I'm not talking about mushy in the bag either.
Amen.
Amen. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Notice there's things here about each member of the family. Notice it says in verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his path, in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Now, is that not what the Lord says? Happy shalt thou be. and it shall be well with thee. If you do what? If you fear the Lord, gentlemen.
Amen.
Every man in here, look up here. I want to know tonight, do you fear God?
Amen.
Now, hey, there's the first step in the home is a man that takes his position in the home and is not some little wimp, but is a man, and not just a man, but is a godly man. Amen. That fears the Lord and walks in God's ways, that man shall be blessed of the Lord indeed.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God. Now, somebody said, preacher, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it means to trust Him. To trust God, to have a little bit of faith. Man, I never seen it such a generation of men that don't have a reverential fear of the Lord, that is trusting the Lord enough to walk in God's ways. Oh, praise God. That's where the whole problem's at. I'm telling you, the problem in the homes is not with the women. It is with the men that have never learned to walk in the pathway of righteousness, to walk in God's ways under God's commandments. You show me a godly man that'll live right at home and at the church, and God will give him a wife that will follow him in his life. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. You men trust in the Lord? I'm talking about a reverential fear. That's what it said. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord.
Amen.
That walketh in His ways.
Amen.
You realize the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And if our ways, come on now, if our ways please the Lord, even our enemies will be in peace with us. That's what that book says. Did I shoot you? Having a little trust in the Lord. Having confidence in God. To provide for the home. To save your children. Do you have confidence in God that He'll save your children? I was driving up the highway today and my phone rang. I picked that phone up. And I said, hey, behold. I said, how you doing, Crawdad? He said, I'm doing good. Said, in fact, I'm doing better than what I thought I was doing. Said, I just called to tell you that old behold, old Jonathan, old behold, come crawling in my bedroom at 12 o'clock last night, weeping, saying, Daddy, I want to get saved. I'm lost and going to hell. Praise God, I'm telling you, I almost had a spell myself. He said, I thought that He'd want you to know about it. And I said, hallelujah to God. I'm glad old behold got in.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it was because he had a daddy that learned to pray for him, hallelujah, and prayed him into the family of God.
Amen.
Had a daddy that feared God and believed that God would save them.
Amen.
I'd hate to bring children into the world and not have enough faith to believe God save them.
Amen.
I don't know if they'll want me to tell this or not, but I'm going to tell it. During our meeting, the phone rang and it was Miss Kelly. One of the old men and Miss Hawk come over to her house right away. Now, got Miss Hall as soon as we could, jumped in the car, drove over there and walked in the house. And I'm telling you, you can believe whatever you want to believe, when I walked in the house, I felt some God around. I thought, what on earth is going on? I've seen them two little boys sitting there and they just a snuffing and a crying. I said, boys, what's wrong with you boys? Luke spoke up and said, I want to get saved. Little old Ricky said, Brother Hall, I want to get saved. I said, well, do you believe God will save you? He said, I believe God will save me. And somebody said, did they get in? That's between them and God. But I'm going to tell you what little Rick done. He said, I sit in church sometimes, and I just want to jump up and say, Praise God! Hallelujah!
Amen.
Well, he can say that now if he wants to.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to convince me it wasn't real. I said, well, tell me something about it. Tell me, Rick, what happened? He said, well, he said, a long time ago, I sat in the house and I looked out the window and I saw a star. And said, I knew that Jesus was born a star, went and sat down, come and hovered over where he was born at. And said, I knew he wasn't going to be born again, and I saw that star, and I thought the Antichrist was coming. He ain't the only one that thought that. There's a grown woman called my wife and said unto God, said, I heard Brother Hall on New Year's Day, and I thought surely he'd preach on New Year's resolution. Said, you ain't going to believe it. He is preaching on the Antichrist, and I ain't slept since. Praise God, I'm going to tell you, it's what it's going to take. A little of the power of God.
Amen.
And a little bit of fear of the Lord and confidence in the part of mommies and daddies to believe that God can, not only God can, better still, praise God, God will.
Amen. Yes, amen.
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 Y'all in here believe God save your children? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you want God to save your children? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said if two on earth shall touch anything as believing, God will grant it unto them.
Amen.
Now I tell you, let's make a covenant tonight. Those of you that's got lost children, let's pray them into God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray them into the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Say, them boys get saved? Well, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I felt something in the house.
Amen.
I forget what all was said. There's more than that said. There's a lot said that day. I'm going to say this. That men, fathers, ought to be men of maturity and stability and strength.
Amen.
Ain't no woman wants to be married to some little whine baggy wimp.
Amen.
Come on in the house. What's the Bible saying? What's the Bible saying in 1 Corinthians 16:13? Watch ye, stand fast in the Lord. Quit ye like men, be strong. I'm here to tell you, God wants His men to be mature. God wants His men to be strong. And I'm not just talking about physical maturity. You can be as mature physically as you want to be and be a wimp spiritually.
Amen.
Come on now, y'all help me some. Praise God.
Amen.
God wants men to be mature. Young men today getting married, they don't know what, they don't have any earthly idea of the responsibilities of manhood and being married. None at all.
Amen.
Now, and I want to say this, don't marry too soon. I know one fellow that woke up with a Leah.
Amen.
Better make sure you get the one God wants you to have.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, help Amen. Brother Hall out now.
Great.
I believe I done jumped too many here. Done went too far, brothers. Got my pages confused. Man ought to be a man of tender love. Ought to have a tender heart and love for his little ones. As I've already said, lay himself out for them. He ought to be a man that seeks to please God. He ought to be a man that submits himself in obedience. He ought to be a man that has a fear of offending God. I want to ask you something tonight. Some of you men in here. Do you have an ounce of fear in you of offending God?
Amen.
mama's daughter, we wouldn't live like we do. Do you realize that God holds your life in His hands tonight? My times are in thy hands. And God can cut your little silver cord tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if He wants to.
Amen.
There are not many men that really fear God, though. Fear of offending God. If we really had the fear of offending Him, I'm going to tell you what we'd do. We'd do everything we possibly could do to please Him. When the preacher says we're having prayer meeting on Saturday night, they wouldn't be two or three meet. The men would be here to pray.
Amen.
When the preacher said we're having a meeting and we need a little food, it wouldn't be like pulling hen's teeth to get it.
Amen.
Tell me something. Have you gone as far as you're going? Have you went your final step with God and you're stuck right there, ladies and gentlemen? Is there no fear of God left? Hey, son, I'm telling you, we're not to fear man that can destroy the body, but fear God that can destroy the body and cast the body and soul both into hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What are you reading, boy? You better be listening to what I'm saying.
Amen.
He's trying to outwit me. He ain't going to manage, though. I'm older than he is. Besides that, I'm his daddy. Besides that, I'm his pastor.
Amen.
Besides that, I'm married to his mama.
Amen.
Are y'all listening? This man walks in the ways of the Lord, verse 1, which is a pathway of blessing. I want you to hear carefully. If your heart is joined unto the Lord, your feet will follow Him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. If your heart is joined to the heart of God, your feet will follow the Lord.
Amen.
Walking in the pathway of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Following God. Being led of the Lord. He will not be up and down and in and out. There will be an obedience to the revealed Word of God. I want to ask y'all something. Have you obeyed everything that God's revealed in this book to you? I'm not Brother O'Brien. I've been here 19 years.
Amen.
I'm not preaching on Vashti. I'm asking you a question. I want you to answer it in your heart. Are you listening to me? Have you been obedient to everything God has revealed to you? The pathway of that blessing is paved, ladies and gentlemen, with present blessings. I'm thank God there is handfuls of purpose. Along the way, God wants to bless you more than you realize.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, God's blesser is not broken.
Amen.
Praise God, the blesser of God is still able to reach down into your heart and pull your little cord, amen, and make you jump up and down if He wants to. I read a message by Spurgeon last night out of the book of Psalms. The psalmist said, in the day of His power, thy people will be willing. Here's what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon said, some would say that God does not make people willing. It's left up to them. I'm going to tell you something. If it was left up to people to be willing, you would never be willing.
That's right. Amen.
If it was left up, call me whatever you want to call me. If it was left up to you to get be willing to be saved, you'd still be going to hell.
Amen.
But he said, in the day of thy power.
Amen.
Whoa! Praise God. He said, when God finally settles in on a people and anoints that man of God with real holy power, he said, God's people will be willing in that day.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why they'll be willing. Because God will see to it that you're willing.
Amen.
Oh, God, don't make nobody. I'm so sick of hearing that mess. God never interferes with our will. Well, if God never interfered with your will, you'd be in bad shape, folk.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, when I was lost, my will was to get drunk. Amen. Corrals. Amen. Play ball. Go to Cincinnati. Watch ball games. And raise sand. But when God dipped the pen of His love, whoo, I think I'm about to get heavy. When God dipped the pen of His love in my heart, hallelujah, God said, that's enough.
That's right.
I said, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, in the day of His power, we will be willing. I'm still believing God for a revival.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
Amen. You think God's able to do it?
Amen.
I don't believe I know. If revival's left in the hands of man, we'd be of all men most miserable. But revival is in the hands of God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, I'm just waiting for God to light a fire in one family.
Yes.
Oh, if God will light a fire in one family.
Yes.
If God will light a fire in one teenager. If God would light a fire in one man or one woman, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. Bless God, I'd fan it.
Amen.
I'd fan it as hard as I could fan. But I got a feeling if God ever lit the fire, I wouldn't have to fan it. There'd be a wind from another world blow through, son, do the fanning of the fire. Amen. I like to took a lap right then. Or tried to. I'm here to tell you. You see what we've done for fear of being labeled something. We've tried to make God be a little bitty old God, and we're in control of everything. We're not in control.
Amen.
And I've come to the conclusion that God, because we believe that we are, God has it.
Amen.
And when we realize we're not, God will.
Amen.
Amen. Paid with present blessing. It leads to eternal blessedness.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. It's been trodden by Him in whom we are blessed.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen! That pathway, that man that fears God is on, I'm telling you, he's following a well-trodden path, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
The lowly Nazarene went down that path a long time ago.
Amen.
That man that no other man has ever spake like Him went down that pathway already before. And I'm going to tell you, the footsteps of Jesus make the pathway glow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I'm following the Lord today.
Yeah.
Thank God, Brother Steve. I'm glad I'm following God today the best way I know how. I sat over in the house last night, I read that thing about the power in the day of His power. Spurgeon said, you can tell when some preachers have lost their power. Said they don't even want to go to church anymore. And I just thought, Brother O'Brien had just told us last night of a church in North Carolina had 1 inch of snow on the ground and canceled services. On 1 stinking inch of snow.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why that preacher canceled service. He's tired of preaching.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, help me never to get tired of preaching. And as long as I've been preaching out, some of you say, he ain't tired. Amen. I want to preach.
Yes.
Amen. I believe in preaching.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That man also works to provide his portion in verse number 2. The Bible said, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. That is, in other words, what you do is what you get.
Amen.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you listening to me? One may toil with the sweat of his brow and another by the sweat of his brain. And there is no difference in the blessing. Then that wife. I'm trying to hurry. That wife finds her place in life and she is happy. It's what it says. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. In providing children, I'm not going to turn there, but 1 Timothy 5:14, Titus 2:4 talks about that wife providing children. You listen carefully. To complete domestic bliss, children are sent. They come as a lawful fruit of marriage, even as clusters appear upon the vine. For the grapes, the vine is planted. Why do you plant a grapevine for? Get grapes.
Amen.
And for children was the wife provided. I sat down there the other night, not one every year. Some couple just broke out laughing. They had a string of them. Their stringer was about full. They just laughed. But it's not my business to tell folks how many kids to have. God said, have your quiver full of them.
Amen.
They was running all over the house over there a while ago. I grabbed up Joe Bob. I said, Joe Bob, you're going in the box, Houdini box. I'm sawing you in half. He said, it's not over here. I said, praise God, I'll find one. He come running through something. I said, where'd you get that boy? I said, he was trying to tell me where he got that can, but I couldn't. He talks higher. You think I write in hieroglyphics? That boy talks in hieroglyphics. You think it's hard to understand what that family's saying this morning? You're listening to Joe Bob talk. But ain't they wonderful?
Amen.
Them little girls have been here. Kaylin crawled up on Miss Hall's lap and laying there and put her thumb in her mouth and started going, Miss Hall said, you're sleepy, aren't you? She said, I want to go to bed. Miss Hall said, we got to go to church. She said, no, I want to go get in your bed. That girl's ready to get in bed, boy. Do you think children's not wonderful? I'm so glad God let Benny and Angie have children.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so glad Doug and Lisa's got children.
Amen.
I'm thrilled that Tammy and Steve's got children. I'm thrilled to see all these little old boys and girls in here. Boy, somebody hurt one of them. I'm going to tell you right now. Be do, re, mi, fa, so, la, di, do on somebody, bud.
Amen.
And I ain't just whistling Dixie, buddy. I mean what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm old, but I ain't that old, friend. And had my mind made up about one thing. I can't say it right now. I told him over at the house what I was fixing to do, boy.
Amen.
Amen to God. That's right. Now listen carefully. Providing consolation and comfort is what that woman's given for. Not only providing children, but consolation and comfort. If she bears no children, she can still be comfort and a consolation to her husband.
Yes,
she can be kind. She can show affection.
Amen.
She can be helpful and happy and help that man in doing those things. Joy from a fruitful wife and a solid comfort from a growing family. These are the two choicest products earth can yield. Our families are gardens of the Lord. Then the Bible says she's a faithful homekeeper. The Bible says she's on the sides, by the sides of thine house. Like Sarah was in the tent when the three strangers came. She is a home body. Not a career girl.
Amen.
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 I still believe that.
Amen.
They need to marry and bear children.
Amen.
That's what that book says. I didn't write it. If you got in disagreement with that, daddy, mommy, sons and daughters, take it up with God. He's the one that wrote the book. She keeps the home, and so she keeps the home.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, if there was ever a woman that had a right, I'll go beyond divorce. If there was ever a woman had a right to kill a husband, my mama had a right to kill my daddy. I've seen my daddy, and I'm not proud of it, and I'm not bragging on sin, but I've seen my daddy come in drunk. I'm talking about more times than once. Some folks may think that I was bad, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen my daddy come in drunk. Beat my mama half to death. Her down on her hands and knees cleaning them little old linoleum floors that was worn out. And I have seen my daddy before she had mopped that floor, and my daddy just reach over and spit and say, clean that up too. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And my mama stayed at home and raised 9 of us brats. Literally by herself. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying she kept the home! And so she kept the house.
Amen.
My daddy was 51 years old. With us boys sitting at a table playing cards one night, rook. My daddy's head dropped against that table just like that. And I never seen my daddy take another drop of liquor from that day forward. Never.
Amen.
He did try dipping snuff, just chewing Red Man tobacco. My younger brother brought him some in down to the hospital, and I was in Bible college, and he was back in, just got done, had an open heart surgery and put a big plug up in his mouth and got sicker than a dog. And we went in there, and he said, boys, I'll never chew that junk ever again. And he never chewed it again ever. That was back in the 80s. Are you trying to help you a little bit? Now the woman is fragile. Listen carefully now. She needs support. She's a vine by the side of the house. The vine is an emblem of fruitfulness, but it also needs support from some other structure in order to grow and be fruitful. And that structure is her husband. It's a vine on the sides of the house. The vine is exceeding fragile. It doesn't run along the ground. It'd get trampled. It's fragile. Therefore, the husband should remember you ought to behave yourself, how you ought to behave yourself towards your wife. And be patient and prudent as with a weaker vessel. Not keeping in mind how fragile she is, but the abundance of her sweetness. Gentlemen, she's not to be screamed and hollered at. She's to be talked to and loved and cared for. You listen to me? She is very fragile. And I'm going to tell you, don't take much to break her heart. It don't take much to break a woman's heart. Us old hard-hearted men, it takes a whole lot to get to us. But I'm telling you, a woman can be hurt just like that. All you got to do is say one wrong word. I got up one night, and Miss Hall sat in the living room. Miss Hall was sitting in. I'm just trying to help some of you now. Some of you young married couple. She's sitting in her computer room. I just got up, went down to my chair, and walked in, went in, took my shower and everything, and went in there and laid down on the bed. The minute she came walking in there, she said, "What are you doing?" "I'm going to bed." She said, "Well, you could have said something to me about it." I've never forgotten it. From that time forward, if I'm going to take a shower and go to bed and I walk by that computer room, I say, "Sweetheart, I'm going to take my shower." Somebody said, "Oh, you're a wimp." No. She is fragile. And I don't want to hurt her. Are you listening to me? I hope so. The vine is not on the roof nor on the floor. The roof is too high. She's not a ruler. And the floor is too low. She is not a slave. She's on the sides of the house, equal with the man. I know some of you big macho boys don't like it. But then the children, they're fed upon by the father as he provided. And are happy in verse 3. They're like olive plants round about the table. I told this illustration in here. Some of you have heard it. Some of y'all know what suckers are. Cut a tree down that's not long. That old stump standing there.
And it won't be too many years till there'll be some little old shoots, suckers about that long. They'll come up around that stump. That stump may be dead, but there's a root in the ground that's still got a little sap left in it.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, when us men that are old, my age and older, and there ain't many of us in here like that tonight, but when we're my age and older, when you young men reach a certain age and you start getting older, and your children are grown and begin to marry, I'm going to tell you what, that old root, that old stump, he's not a tree no more. And he cannot provide the things that he once did. But he's got them little old suckers around that thing, growing strength from what he used to be.
Right.
And oh, what a joy it is to be an old man and see your children drawing strength from your life that you lived in their presence.
Right.
And they're growing up. They're like little olive plants round about the table. I sat over today and I thought to myself, all I need is Steve and Tammy here. I'd have them all. What a blessing it would have been. Oh, I needed money bags and Jake, I guess. I had to claim him, I reckon. I had them, Tammy and Steve. We'd have had them all. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Here they are, just like little olive plants round about Pop's table. And I hope that I've said some things in life, done some things in life, lived some things in my life that they can draw strength from and be like little olive plants round about my table. I'm going to tell you something, Daddy. You're going to grow old one of these days.
Amen.
There's nothing any lonelier than for a man and a woman to grow old, their children go off, and they're left there in the house day after day. I called my older brother, 72 years old. I said, how you doing, Donnie? He said, just sitting here waiting to die. He's got one son. He said, I never see him. He said, I've got great-grandchildren that I've never even seen. It ought not to be that way, folks.
Amen.
It ought not to be that way. He said, they don't ever come by. And you remember. And can I say this? I won't say this. Some married couples got the idea that grandpa and grandma ought to come at their house all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've got three children. And you can call me whatever you want to. I never go to one of them's house unless I'm invited. You know why? Because if I went to one of them's house and didn't go to the other one, I'd be criticized and accused of loving them more than I love the other one. So I tell my children, I've got an open door. All you got to do is walk up, knock on it, twist the knob, and come in anytime you want to come in. Besides that, it's easier for you to come to one place than it is for me to go to three. Now that's what I practice. I'm invited, I go. I'm not, I don't. Let them come to Poppy's house. You know what they'll get? Cookies and milk. Coffee. Kisses and hugs. Spoil them. And boot them out the door and send them home. And it's wonderful. A happy family. I can honestly say tonight, I'm happy. I am a happy man tonight. I'd like for my every family in this church to be able to rejoice in having a happy family and a happy marriage. Let's stand together.